Hey, poker people, it's Sky Matsuhashi, and this is the Smart Poker Study Podcast. Last week, in a crazy good episode number 157, I interviewed the winningest micro-stakes player of all time, BlackRain79. We discussed a micro-stakes strategy as well as his latest book, The Micro-Stakes Playbook. Yayoo! It's poker study time, y'all! Thanks for tuning in to another episode and for spreading the word as well. We are growing, poker peeps, and it's all due to you telling your loved ones, or friends, or I guess loved ones can be friends, whatever. Thank you very much for telling other people. So, I sure hope you've been watching Stranger Things Season 2. Actually, you should have finished it by now. If not, what are you waiting for? It is the best series on TV right now. And it's such an awesomely bingeable show. I watched it all in just 2 days, you know. That very first night it was released, watched a bit, watched the other half the next night. And, you know, I love that theme music, and it's really inspired me to start listening to dark synth music as well. You can find a ton of different tracks on YouTube right there, like 1 hour long tracks. And I've listened to it over my past 3 play sessions, and earlier as I put this podcast together, I was listening to the dark synth as well, and you know, I think I've found my new favorite genre of music. And speaking of favorites, some of my favorite people are those supporting the show on Patreon. I love putting the show together week after week, and my time in putting the show together, it's supported by everyone on Patreon, and I truly do appreciate it. I want to give a very big thank you to my newest patron, Kevin Rocktashel. Thank you very much, Kevin. Your Patreon support shows me that you enjoy the show and that you want it to continue. If you would like to find out how you can support the show, go to patreon.com/smartpokerstudy. There are different levels of support with different rewards attached. And next week, I'm sending out the November Rewards podcast and the rewards training video as well. Once you begin your support on Patreon, you'll get the current month's reward as well as access to the archive of Patreon-only content. Just for a few dollars a month, less than one buy-in for many of you, you'll support the show and receive some valuable poker content in return. So once again, visit Patreon, patreon.com/smartpokerstudy to start your support. Alrighty, it's time to talk poker mindset. Yepers, Class 1 of MED number 10 is about to begin. Please visit the show notes page for everything I discussed today, along with screenshots and links at www.smartpokerstudy.com/pod163. Well, it is that time. Gambatte!
And now for our feature presentation.
Alrighty, well, poker mindset is the 10th MED, or minimum effective dose, so it may seem at first glance that it's not all that important being so far down the list. But I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say it is extremely important. We've all unnecessarily lost money due to tilt or distraction or playing above our bankroll or not studying to improve our skills or having a bad attitude or allowing non-poker related crap in our lives deter us from being focused at the tables and making the best decisions possible. You and I know that when we are playing in the zone, we're intently focused on the game and we're making great decisions because of it. Now, with this MED, I'm going to be giving you a working man's take on it. I'm not a professor, nor a licensed therapist like Dr. Trisha Carter. I'm not somebody who's done a ton of research and mental game coaching like Jared Tendler. And I'm not a mindset guru who's taught it for many years like Tommy Angelo either. I am just a dude who is intent on improving his own poker game. And I'm approaching all this mindset stuff with things that have worked for me in the past and what's currently working for me right now. So classes 1 and 2 will revolve around on-the-felt poker mindset techniques. Class 1 today is about the things that I do pre-session to get fully warmed up for the upcoming session and the pounding I'm about to give to my opponents. Class 2 next time will show you the things I do on-the-felt to keep me in A-game mindset. And then for classes 3, 4, and 5, those all revolve around the things I do off-the-felt. Class 3 will show you how I approach my poker study sessions. Class 4 is about how I pursue self-improvement outside of poker, which of course ends up affecting my poker mindset as well. And then finally in Class 5, I'll discuss some great pieces of outside content to help you improve your poker mindset. Things like books, articles, podcasts, and courses from other content creators. Alrighty, let's get to the things that I do pre-session. So my warm-ups are constantly evolving. They change all the time. If you've listened to podcast number 5 or even read one or two of my books, you'll see that the basic structure has changed over time, but now it's an 8-part warm-up. And I can hear all of you thinking right now, 8 parts, what the heck? But I can assure you, it only takes me 5 minutes and is well worth it for me. The time that I take right now in discussing the 8 steps is far and away going to take longer than an actual warm-up. But I just want to make sure to discuss it all in detail because all of these steps, all 8 parts together, really help to warm me up for my play sessions. So let's get to it. Step number 1 is ditch the distractions. One constant thing that I've noticed behind most of my poorly played sessions is being distracted. My boys running around, or looking at email, or watching a YouTube video while I play. All of these lead me to terrible decisions on the felt. And it's not only these active distractions, but also the things in the back of my mind. If I procrastinated on a task that I needed to accomplish earlier that day, or I'm dealing with some crappy non-poker related stuff, that's just a drag on my mind, and I know that my focus suffers for it. I've learned this the hard way from years of experience, and still I sometimes allow things to distract me. Currently, I know that my 2 biggest distractions are playing while my boys are home and when I have something weighing on my mind. So the way I deal with the distraction of my boys being around when I play is I keep my play sessions to late at night after they've gone to bed, or in the afternoon when they're actually at school and just away from the house. And for things weighing on my mind, those are often tasks like completing the next podcast, maybe responding to emails, or completing something that I know needs to be done, and I'm just kind of procrastinating instead of getting it done. And this is why I make a to-do list every day, and I don't allow myself to play a session until I complete it. If I finish all my tasks, then I don't have thoughts about them sucking up my brain space. So what you need to do is figure out what distracts you. Is it text messaging, maybe Skype, maybe watching a sporting event on television as you play? Or are you trying to do something crazy like doing laundry while you're making MTT decisions? Or maybe you're trying to make dinner while you're playing one cash game, you know? Whatever your distraction is, figure out how you can set up your play sessions so that distraction is no longer an issue. Part 2 of my warm-ups is very simple. I plan the session. So before I sit down to play, I'll decide what limit I'll play, how many tables, and how long I intend to play for. Planning the session like this gives me a time goal to shoot for. It's often 45 minutes or 60 minutes, and then I'll take a break and do a second session if I feel like it. It also keeps the number of tables I'm playing in control. Sometimes, if I don't decide this ahead of time, I'll end up on 5, 6, or even 8 tables. And I know that the more tables I play, the less time I have for decisions, and the worse I end up playing. Part 3 of my warm-up is to know my motivation. For every session I play, I set a clear reason for playing it. I just ask myself very simply, why am I playing today? And the answers can be various things, like for example, to work on a specific skill that I'm studying off the felt. Maybe it's to find ways to exploit my opponents. Maybe it's just to make money. Maybe it's to just understand my opponents, you know, look at their stats and kind of classify each of the opponents. Maybe it's to only play in position. Or maybe the reason I'm playing is to 3-bet profitably at every opportunity. Whatever my reason is, I write it down in my poker journal, and having a reason helps me to stay focused. Part 4 of my warm-ups is record my mental state. I like to record this in my journal because I want to actively think about my mental state before I sit down to play a session. Sometimes I'll sit down for a poker session, I'll start filling out each step in my journal, and when I consider my current mental state, I realize that I'm actually pretty angry or upset or just distracted over something. If any of these is the case, I'll give myself a C for mindset. At this point, I'll just put the pen down right there, stop the warm-up, and do something else instead of playing a game in C game mindset. Most of the time, though, I find myself in A or B game mindset. And here are my quick definitions for A, B, and C game mindsets. An A game mindset is where I am at my peak, I'm focused, I'm ready to play, and I know I'm going to be making great positive EV decisions. B game mindset is where I might be slightly distracted or not fully focused on the session ahead of me, but I feel ready to play, and I know that I can handle a few tables while making some pretty good decisions and reads on my opponents. And the worst, the C game. That's when I know I'm going to be distracted as I play, which will of course lead to subpar losing poker. When I'm playing at C game level, I'm letting anger get the best of me. I'm not thinking through my decisions, and I'm extremely likely to go on tilt. After this, part 5 of my warm-up is choose a strategy to practice. So for every session I play, I have a strategy or a poker skill that I'm working on. This can be related to my motivation for the session, but it's always connected to my theme of study for the week. So for this week, I'm studying my mental game in preparation for this podcast. My strategy focus for the week is to pay attention to my emotions, and if something is causing my anger to spike, I take note of it in my poker journal. I can only improve my mental game if I know what brings it down. Part 6 is have a HUD stat focus. As you all know, I play online, so I'm constantly using my HUD and I'm referring to various stats on my opponents. If I face a 3-bet, I look at their 3-bet percentage by position. If I face a check raise, I look at their check raise stat on the street in question. Most of the time, my HUD focus centers around that week's study theme. With this week being a mental game study theme, there's not really a HUD stat for that, so I've decided to focus on my opponent's went to showdown percentage. In case you don't know what this is, this percentage says how often an opponent who sees the flop gets to showdown. The higher the percentage, like anything over 25%, the harder it's going to be to bluff them off their hand, but the easier it will be to get value from them. The opposite is true if their went to showdown percentage is somewhere below 21% or so. Part 7 of my warm-ups is choose a 5-minute question. The 5-minute question is designed to keep me focused at the table and often relates to the theme that I'm studying that week. I use a Tabata timer and every 5 minutes I ask myself a question. This week's question is, what is my mental state right now? And the final 8th part of my warm-ups. Have a logic statement at the ready. The logic statement is something I learned from Jared Tendler's book called The Mental Game of Poker. A logic statement is a statement designed to help you stay calm and focused as your emotions rise. Some example logic statements that I've used in the past are, my logical decisions will win out in the end. And another logic statement, short-term results don't matter as long as I'm making positive EV decisions. So, if I suddenly feel myself start to get angry or frustrated over the session, I'll recite my chosen logic statement to myself, and it sometimes works to keep me calm and playing longer. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/smartpokerstudy. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, including both of my books, How to Study Poker Volumes 1 and 2. And if you're looking for poker content from others, Audible also has Jonathan Little's book called Small Stakes Poker Cash Games, and it has Zachary Elwood's book, Reading Poker Tells. So visit audibletrial.com/smartpokerstudy to get yourself some good poker books today. And just 2 quick shout-outs today. Michael Bolos and Bruno Daniel both purchased Poker Tracker 4 through my affiliate link. They went through smartpokerstudy.com/pokertracker4, did the free trial, purchased the Poker Tracker 4. I sent them my smart HUD for making the purchase through me, and I also sent them an email with a ton of video links about the smart HUD and about getting the most from Poker Tracker 4. So if you want Poker Tracker 4 to improve your online poker game, just visit that link I just mentioned, smartpokerstudy.com/pokertracker4. Alrighty, back to class, poker people. The last thing I want to talk about is bankroll management. So one thing that I didn't know when I started playing online poker was how important bankroll management is. Bankroll management is very simply controlling the level of buy-in that you play so that you have enough money to sustain you through the inevitable ups and downs of poker. And this is what we call variance. You can't always be a winner at poker, because no matter how skilled you are, luck still plays a part. It's not unheard of for great poker players to play break-even or losing poker for months at a time. Good bankroll management allows me to keep playing even during losing streaks. It gives me a certain peace of mind and a calmness when I think about the money on the line. When I started online poker, I had a $600 bankroll, but I was playing in $100 buy-in games. If I was just one tabling, I had 1/6 of my money on the line. If I was two tabling, 2/3 of my money on the line. This was really causing me to play scared poker. I was overly concerned with the money at risk, and this led myself to being super, just terribly nitty and just really, really fit or fold on every single flop. And because of this, because of my such nitty nature, or the nitty play I was exhibiting, I was super predictable at the time, and it's no wonder I lost a ton of money right off the bat from all these experienced players who know how to take advantage of the nits. So I recommend a cash game bankroll of 40 to 50 buy-ins. If you've got $500 to your name, then you should be playing at $10 games or 10 NL online. This lets you play pretty comfortably, knowing that a terrible session isn't the end of your bankroll. And if you're an MTT or sit-and-go player, I recommend 100 to 125 buy-ins. Things are just so much more variance-ridden or volatile within the tournament scene. And if you're a crazy online grinder where you're playing 10 or 20 tables at a time, whether it's cash or MTTs, then double the bankroll requirements that I just recommended. The choice of game you play is related to part 2 of my 8-part warm-up already discussed. Remember, that was having a plan for the session. If you choose a stake to play that you're adequately rolled for, you have one less worry taking up brain space in that pretty little head of yours. Less worries equals better poker play. Challenge! Here's my challenge to you for this episode. Start doing warm-ups for yourself before every play session. Just whip out a quick piece of paper or your poker journal and record the 8 things that I already mentioned. Try this for your next 5 play sessions and see if that doesn't improve things for you. Now it's your turn to take action and do something positive for your poker game.
Now get it on!
This episode isn't complete until you head to the show notes page at www.smartpokerstudy.com/pod163. When you go there, you will see the 8 parts just listed out for you. You can copy and paste, do whatever you want, but the show notes are designed to help you learn from each podcast I put out. Thank you so very much for listening today. If you can type in the words Smart Poker Study, you can find me on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Amazon, and now on Anchor. You can also hear the show on your Amazon Echo device. Just tell it to play the Smart Poker Study podcast on TuneIn. And of course, send me those emails. Next week is a Q&A after all, but send those emails to sky@smartpokerstudy.com. Alrighty, like I just said, next week, episode 164, another Q&A with 3 questions and answers for you. Following that, in episode 165, I'll get back to the poker mindset minimum effective dose when I discuss the things I do on the felt to keep in control and focused. Word of mouth is the best advertising, so thank you very much for sharing the show with other poker people. Your sharing and caring is what helps us grow. Until next time, study smart, play much, and make your next session the best one yet. I want it last.